All right, let's get into these interview questions. Number one, the blackout test has been going for 8 years now, which is incredible. How difficult is it to keep this up? How do you not only maintain podcasting so many times a week, but also keep the quality so consistent? Well, I would say the first thing is we're able to keep it up because we make it a priority. We schedule things. We don't have any kids.
Nope, no children.
So we, you know, we're able to organize our life around that. But, you know, you just, honestly, if you want to do something, you make the time for it. And you just have to be professional about it. It's the same way I'm sure writers write and people that do YouTube videos make time to do the YouTube videos. So you just always have to be putting a priority about it. And as far as keeping the quality so consistent, I do a lot of work to make sure that the audio is good. I do a lot of work to make sure that the topics and stuff is good. And I figure the least amount, the more work I do, the less work it is for Karen and our guests, so they can come in, just be the personalities they are, and add to the conversation and make it, you know, make it flow.
Agreed.
All right, number two, the blackout test is famous and much copy for his segments, especially guest array, sword ratchetness, and fucking with black people. What was the inspiration behind them, and did they go through any evolution, or did you have to do any tweaking? Well, we'll start with that part of the question first. It's very organic.
Yeah, it's something natural, something like a lot of the little things we do, it just happened naturally.
Yeah, Karen came up with the songs.
I sure did.
We were just messing around, like Karen would just start singing a song or something, and you know, we're very organic. I think one of the things that makes podcasting cool is that there aren't a lot of rules right now. You can do a lot of things that, on a whim, and you know, if they are cool moments, then they become part of the show, and we just do it until we either feel like it's not cool anymore, or it's not good fun anymore, or just the time passes and we move on to something new. But that's how the segments came up.
Yeah, just like Roger said, naturally and organic. And for us, it's just fun. Like, we just come, I know for me, because I do a little less work than you, I just come just to have fun, and I kind of speak on behalf of the audience a lot of time.
Yeah, and honestly, fucking with black people came because we were covering, as black people in America, cover a lot of issues about race. If you know anything about race in America, it's not always fun. Mm-mm. And so we started, you know, it just started off of a random comment where I was like, it's almost like people are just fucking with us to see like how much they, it's like it's a contest, and then boom, we end up turning into a game. As far as the other question, which is when other podcasts started copying you, did you feel you had to respond somehow about changing anything? No.
Mm-mm.
I mean, we originated the stuff that we've come up with. I always try to give credit to the inspirations and the places I hear things when we do the show. I'm pretty meticulous about it. I'm sure I've messed up over the years at some point, but I try to always be like, this is where I heard this. But a lot of people don't do that.
No, they don't.
You know, there's a lot of people that hear, you know, they hear something and then their first thought is to take it, almost, to colonize it. But I never really worry about being copied, because honestly, you could copy everything about our show down to our names, and it wouldn't be the same show without me and Karen.
No.
And most podcasters, content creators need to understand that the thing that you're selling, the actual unique thing you have, is yourself. Anything else can be copied. Anything under the sun, you know, music, you know, all kinds of like names, segments, everything can be copied. But if you are being your authentic self, no one else can do or say the things you would do on the fly like you do them. And that's, so I don't worry about it. I think when it first started happening, I was worried about it, but that was about insecurity in myself, not about the people who were, you know, trying to steal or shark or copy us. And I realized that impetus to like go after them was all about ego and self, and it's not about what, you know, the fact that we're trying to make the best product possible. Did you have anything to add? Okay. Number three, can you tell us the decision behind podcasting full time? We read that Karen was a big part of this decision, and we'd especially like to know what her thoughts were.
About you going full time?
About podcasting full time, yes.
I still have a 40-hour week job, but yeah, it's something we had talked about for years. Like, we had talked about it for years, but it's very hard to do it when both parties are working 40 hours a week, and most people that have full-time jobs know that when you come home, you're exhausted, you're tired. Jobs take up a lot of your time and a lot of your energy, so most of your spare time, very few people want to do extra work or more work and additional work. And for us, we increased it. We went from like 1 day a week to 2 days a week to 3 days a week, and I think that was a slow progression to us kind of preparing for it. But it wasn't until Roger Gloss's job that I was like, well, we actually have the time for it. Like, you have the time to dedicate it full time, and we just happened to be blessed where we have an audience base that was willing to support us financially, or Roger could do it full time.
Yeah, it was Karen that really encouraged me when I got laid off of work to do it full time. You know, with a lot of independent creative spaces, you really don't know what your user base will support. You don't know exactly how people will come through for you, and a lot of times you don't have the opportunity to do the work, the groundwork that would make it easy for people to support you. And this was a situation where I got laid off for the second time, and I was ready to just get on Monster Hunter or something and start looking for another job. And Karen said, look, we have worked very hard to put ourselves in a position where we built an audience. Let's lean on the audience and see if they will support us enough for us to be able to transition into being podcasters full time. And we're still in the middle of that transition, but we're for both of us, but I'm able to do it full time now, and that's definitely because Karen encouraged it. And you know, the goal is to continue to do what we're doing until we're both doing it full time. You know, so, but yeah, that was all Karen, because I did not believe enough in just doing something and knowing my value, because, you know, I'm a black person in America, and I think black kids were told all the time, like, the limit is the sky, and so we just don't know what's possible until you try it.
Right. And sometimes I think that everybody needs that boost or that encouragement, or everybody actually needs that cheering section. And sometimes it just takes one person that actually believes in your dream. And the thing is, you never know unless you try. Like, right. If we would have tried it and not succeeded, I would have felt at peace with it. We gave it a try, and that's all we can ask for, is just try. Versus if you don't try, you don't know what could have happened, and your whole life would have been a woulda, coulda, shoulda.
Right. So, and Karen's a dreamer like that. So she really was like, we can do this. And she's like, I don't even know the technical know-how, but you can figure it out and you will make it happen. And yeah. She was right.
And that's the thing. I believed and still do believe in you and your capabilities and the things that you can do. I know I can do some things. There's some things that I just don't have the ability or don't have the time to actually sit and learn certain things.
Number four, what's the preparation process like before each podcast? I collect articles. I normally come up with the segments. Spend a lot of time doing research, so that when we do read the articles, I'll kind of know what I'm talking about, because Karen normally asks a lot of questions and stuff. So that's the preparation for me. And then I try to make it so that Karen can just walk in the room and do her thing.
Yeah, preparation for me, Roger does the bulk of kind of the prep for the show. I'm more of the talent, even though I joke about that, but, you know, kind of Puff Daddy. I just kind of walk in and be like, I'm here. And a lot of times my prep time is resting about 30 minutes to an hour after work, and then we start the show.
Yep. So then number five, what made you decide to take the plunge to do your live podcast in September? How are you preparing for it? Well, we've done some live events in the last 2 or 3 years, starting with RevoltCon. We did RevoltCon first and then NegroCon, right?
AwesomeCon.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Karen. You got it.
No, the very first live show we did was AwesomeCon in DC with Chris from West My 40 Acres, D-Pom, and Sterling.
Wait, Brandon from Where's My 40 Acres?
Not Chris Brandon.
Chris from Movie Trailer Reviews.
Oh, I said that wrong.
Yeah, you said Chris from Where's My 40 Acres. Chris is from Movie Trailer Reviews.
My bad, I'm jacking this up.
Anyway, we did it with some other black podcasters that we've known for a while. And we did a panel in DC for a nerd conference. And we talked about, a bunch of nerd stuff. Had a good time. We found out through that conference, through that panel, a lot of people came out to see us in DC.
Mm-hmm.
Enough to really fill up that room. And afterwards we stayed and took pictures with people for a long time because so many people came specifically to see us. And we when I introduced Cam, I was like, and everyone started cheering. I was like, wow, these people really came to see us,
right?
Like, it wasn't just some people that wandered into a room for the conference. They paid money for the day pass with just the opportunity to see us for an hour.
Right. They didn't go, some of them didn't go on the floor. For those of you that have been to cons, they didn't go on the floor, they didn't travel, they didn't see that. We bought these tickets, showed up for this hour and some change, and that's it. And I think for us, that was our first time actually getting to actually see our fans, like actually physically see our fans and them showing up and showing us love, and that kind of started the spark.
Yeah, so we ended up doing that. Then we got invited to RevoltCon, which was Puff Daddy's annual event. We got to be on a panel with Combat Jack, rest in peace. Mm-hmm. Why am I always drawing a blank at this dude's name? But my man that went to jail, went to prison. Be safe though. Why am I drawing a blank at my man's name? We met him.
I know who you're talking about.
We got to meet like some titans of the industry.
Yes.
At the time, and we had such a good time that we ended up being on TV from that.
That was a fun experience.
Yeah, it was definitely a different experience. Not something that I thought a podcast would take us to,
I'm doing makeup and everything.
Yeah, like I definitely could not have seen foreseen that as a person that was doing a podcast in a spare bedroom with my wife.
Correct.
I was never like, and then one day, oh, Taxstone, that's who it was.
Taxstone.
I was like, and one day, we'll be on the stage and we'll be on TV.
Right. Nori and DJ
Enough.
Mm-hmm.
And so then we had then we went to Seattle. We did a show last year in Seattle. We did a show in DC that was called NegroCon, which is the first podcast like that we put on live with our friends Chris and Brandon and a bunch of other people, and we all did that together. And so then we say, you know what, this time we have enough momentum, we've met people, we went to Seattle and people came to see
us.
Yep. We've proven that wherever we go, we can get people to come see us.
Correct.
Let's go ahead and try to do one in our hometown of Charlotte. So that was the all those other experiences gave us the confidence to try it. And as far as preparing for it, we went and got an event planner, number one.
Mm-hmm.
We
worth every dime.
Yeah, we figured out the what kind of like the math on the money. We went to visit venues. There's just a lot of little stuff you have to
for months.
Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of little stuff you have to do in order to put on an event, whether it's venues and all that stuff. My main thing is just to, I would suggest, get an event planner and work backwards. Figure out what your budget is, figure out what you can spend, because the other part is we saved up money on our business account stuff to make sure that we had the money to invest in ourselves, which is a part of, you know, business. A lot of people don't tell you, like, you know, there would have been another scenario, we would have maybe had to put this on credit. I wouldn't have felt comfortable putting my business, you know, my credit into something that I didn't know if I would make my money back on. So, you know, these are little stepping stones to get where we are. Number six, what should listeners and fans expect during the live podcast?
They should expect to laugh and have a good time. A lot of interactions. Basically, it's the same show that we normally do. For those people that actually view us on Crowdcast, you're going to get just a more intimate form of that, you know, with the singing and playing the games. We're going to have giveaways and things like that. And then for people that have VIP, we're doing something a little extra for them, a meet and greet and take pictures and things like that.
Yeah, and as far as we're going to play games, we're going to give stuff away. You know, I think people should just come out. We're going to have a comedian. We're going to have Chris Lambert open for us. I think people should just be ready to have a good time. There'll be drinks there. So it should be just a fun live event that is the show. And I can't wait. Bonus number one, what should your listeners be drinking when they listen to the Blackout Tips? I mean, depends on the day, honestly. If we're doing a lot of white people news, I suggest wine.
Wine with cheese.
Wine and crackers and cheese.
Yes.
But, you know, we go with every drink. Look, there's people that are going to be working out. There's people that are going to be, drinking, hard liquor. There's going to be people that need a beer. You know, might be some Colt 45 action. I don't know.
Come on.
It's whatever your day been like. We go good with everything. Number two, we understand that you're fans of Dean Tai Fung. How would you rate the soup dumplings? Oh, so good.
Delicious.
I'm on the East Coast in Charlotte. We don't have nothing like it.
Right. I was so disappointed. I look at her like, we're going to have to get back out here.
The closest we got out here is, we got this pho place where they got shrimp dumplings in some of the soup, but it ain't the same as that Dean Tai Fung.
It ain't the same, dog.
Pork and crab, truffle and pork. Which one is the must try for beginners? Man, the one I like was, it was like shrimp and crab or something. Like, it was shrimp and something. I don't remember exactly what it was, but it was some type of, but anyway, we tried them all. They all good.
They all
great for beginners.
That's what we did. We just mixed it up. It was delicious, baby.
Finally, are there any picks that we should use? Would you prefer we just use a general one on your site? Illustration, you guys hugging each other. Oh, I will, I'll send you a link to the picture. And you guys are welcome, and thank you very much for your time, Malloy, and I appreciate you even thinking about talking with us. Peace.
Thank you, baby.